1 is the most familiar verse on Mother's Day. Ashith Kalil, a woman of virtue or excellence. It goes like an acrostic in the original. It's the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph through Tau. It says this: an excellent wife who can find her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and delights with the work of her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She arises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. One of these Mother's Days, we will do a more complete study of Proverbs 31. Its main verse is a virtuous woman who can find, or a woman of valor, a woman of excellence. That phrase had already been used in the Bible in Ruth. Chapter 3, verse 11, where Boaz says to her, you are a woman of excellence. It seems that Proverbs 31 is the best Mother's Day text. An unknown King Lemuel wrote it. He got it from his mother. But by then, Ruth had already been described in the Bible as a woman of excellence, a woman of virtue, a woman of valor. We're going to list some of her character traits that caused that description even before Proverbs 31 was written. Before I give some of the traits, though, it's best to think about the world she lived in. She was different than the world she lived in. She did not go along with it. Ruth 1:1 says she lived the time of the judges. The time of the judges described in the very last verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's a way of saying everybody was running around with no accountability. Everybody was running around just doing whatever they want. No sense that God was in control. They would do what they wanted to do. We must not review all of the book of Judges or all of the bad things in it, but one story is about an attempted homosexual rape. Another story is about a murder where they chop up the body parts and send them around. No sense of accountability to God. We don't want to talk about them. We want to talk about people who lived the same time and in the same world, but were the opposite. Ruth and Boaz, they were different than the people around them. They did not think like they do. They did not choose like they did. They did not have the goals of the society around him. They were, as we would say, countercultural. I remember hearing that phrase when I was a child, and the hippies, who were a little bit older, would use the phrase countercultural. And even at that time, I thought, no, you're not. You're like the masses. We who live by the Bible are actually countercultural. We're the ones with courage to stand in a minority and stand alone. And Ruth and Boaz did this at the same time. After studying the times in which they lived in which they did not participate in, we're then ready to see what made Ruth a woman of virtue. Number one, Ruth was loyal. Loyal in her relationships. We could say lifelong loyalty. Now, we first think of husband and wife, and that sort of makes sense. And then on Mother's Day, we think of mothers and children, and that makes sense, too. The story of Ruth, though, got to that point, but began with loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth's in-laws were from that town named Bethlehem. However, Bethlehem had been in a famine, so they moved away from it to a place called Moab that now is in Jordan. In that time, all of her in-laws died. Naomi's husband died. Oprah, a sister, her husband died. Ruth's husband died. And they were all left alone. Naomi decided to move back to Bethlehem. The other in-law, daughter-in-law, decided to stay home, but Ruth went with her. A common quote, where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. And even beyond that, where you die, I will die. Ruth 1:17, that very last clause ends up a similarity to the British Common Book of Prayer and Weddings. Till death us do part. Lifelong loyalty in relationships. Unbroken relationships is a characteristic of a woman of virtue. Ruth's loyalty was first to her mother-in-law, but as the story goes on, loyalty to her husband and loyalty to her kids. That common phrase in Ruth 1:7 was used of putting on a ring and oh, I like this from James Avery years ago. Ki el asher telki a lake, wherever you go, I will go. A lifelong loyalty is one of her characteristics of being a woman of excellence. Number two, she had resilience in poverty. We might use the modern slogan, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We might say it was like a holy stubbornness, doing what is right and doing what needed to be done, even though it was very, very hard to do. Persistence in doing what is right. We can read the story out of Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 through 7, but I think I'll just paraphrase and kind of update it. It's kind of like this. She wakes up, Naomi, I have nothing. There's nothing to eat. I don't know anybody in this new place. I'm going to get up and go out before sunrise, and I'm going to work all day and gather in the fields. In trying times, she tried, persistent in difficulties. Moses' law had said that you cannot reap the corners of a field, had to leave each of the corners free for people to take. The people of Israel did have to work for it. This Mother's Day thought is not a political sermon, but in the story of Ruth, as in other stories in the Bible, there was welfare, but those who had health had to work for it. The manna in the wilderness did not fall down on the table and on their plates. The manna in the wilderness was free from God, but did require work and a work ethic to go get it. Likewise, Moses said, number one, you leave the corners of the field, but number two, the reapers should go through a field only once. If they missed some stalks, they could not go back and get them. They just had to leave them behind. And if they had some stalks that they had cut, but they dropped them while putting them in the baskets, they had to leave them behind. So with the corners of the field and the stalks didn't get cut and the ones that got dropped, they were all left for anybody who wanted to work hard enough to take them. Free food, but also work. She worked very, very hard. Now, I have never bent over all day long to cut wheat with a sickle as in the older days, or even worse, to have to pick them up off the ground, the little seeds that fell. I have done corn and blueberries, at least they're sideways. Terrible day of bending over and picking up cucumbers and blueberries. Very hard. The modern phrase we use is back-breaking work. She gleaned in the field all day and until evening. Her characteristic then is toughness, resistance to adversity, trying in the trying times, not a quitter, not giving up. To use a New Testament phrase, she was an overcomer. She had it difficult, but she tried very, very hard to overcome it. She couldn't fix everything, but she would do what she could do about it. And the overall story is long-term blessing with marriage and eventually being one of the great-great-grandmothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even at the end of that long day, she got 3/5 of a bushel of barley, enough for 10 days for 2 people to eat. So loyalty and relationships, not breaking up. Persistence in adversity, 1 and 2. Number 3, flexibility in troubling times. Willing to make adjustments that had to be made in trying times. Obviously, flexibility is a modern word, not in the Old Testament, but that is how she left her homeland, being flexible. She left her family, being flexible. She changed where she was from and changed her human relationships. And she trusted in God. Sometimes we have changes we cannot control, and we have to be a little bit flexible. And we have to make adjustments in them. The word flexibility in the Bible might be the idea of waiting on God. I don't remember reading too much on flexibility, but there are several verses on waiting on God, which kind of means the same thing. You can't understand how everything is going right now, but you just do the best you can and wait on God for the future. We have in our lives circumstances that we cannot control. Right now it's the pandemic, but there always have been a list of others, job changes and moves and relationships and things that we cannot control. And yet she made the flexible adjustments in them to still do the best she could do. The Bible's word, I think, is wait. Wait on the Lord. Even when we do not understand everything immediately. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not to your own understanding. Might not know why things happen right now. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The word wait is in Psalm 27, 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. When the unexpected and uncontrollable things happen, Ruth did make adjustments. She changed things that had to be changed so she could remain loyal to her mother-in-law in that case. There are other circumstances where we have to sometimes make adjustments, or the Bible phrase, wait on God. They that wait on the Lord will renew new strength. So a woman of excellence is in these characteristics. Ruth had very loyal, unchanging love and steadfastness in relationships. She had persistence in troubles, kind of a holy stubbornness and would not quit. She was flexible and made the changes she had to make. She also trusted in God. Now, part of her trust in God is the same as flexibility, because she totally changed her religion. She is in a story of what we call a conversion, where she was brought up a pagan in idolatry. Chemosh was their god. not very good things about Chemosh. I think some of them even did child sacrifice, so a good thing to dump it. But she made great changes and trusted in God. So we could say that's a subdivision of making adjustments, but trusting in God and conversion is so great that we put it as number fourth characteristic of trusting in God. The picture used in the book of Ruth is like a baby bird trusting under the wings of its mother. Here's Ruth 2:12. May the Lord reward your work, and may your wages be full from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. References to a mother bird taking care of a baby bird began all the way back in Exodus 19. Just before God gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and he says that he brought them out of Egypt like a mother eagle protecting the baby birds on their move. Past Moses' time in Exodus, quite a few references to this word picture of God's protection being like under the wings. Here are some of them. There are more. Deuteronomy 32:11, he spread his wings and caught them. Now Psalms 17:8, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalms 36:17, the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Like Psalm 57:1, in the shadow of your wings I take refuge. Then a slightly different statement in Psalm 63:7, in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. And very common, it's actually one of the plague texts, Psalm 91:4, under his wings you may take refuge. So far, all those have been eagle illustrations. Jesus, for some reason, uses a chicken illustration. And Moses didn't have any chickens in the law of Moses, but evidently by the New Testament, they had moved from Asia over into Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23:37, he would have gathered Jerusalem together like a hen gathers its little chicks under the wings. So Ruth looked to God as a protector for salvation in changing her worldview, but a protector from day to day as she was in poverty and need and did not know what to do in her big change. So she went to God for protection from eternal salvation, but she went to God for protection of all kinds. As a woman of excellence, one trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. As a woman of excellence, one trusts in God for all of the troubles in life. She had many changes and moved to God in his unchanging character. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. James 1:17, every gift is from above, and the Father of lights has no variableness or shadow of turning. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. She had a lot of troubles and a lot of adjustments and changes, but she converted to trust in the God of Israel, viewing him as the changeless God. Often we think of the word picture of a fortress, might apply it to modern, a storm shelter, but the Bible also uses God as a mother. God as a mother bird taking care of the little birds who are helpless. And she, Ruth, looked to God in trust for protection, both of eternal life and for all of the day-to-day needs. Just as God cared for her, she transferred that care to other people. And in the story, it begins with the older generations, and then it goes on to the present generation, her own generation. Then it goes on to children. Then it goes on to grandchildren. She trusted in God for care under God's wings as a figure of speech. The fifth and final characteristic of Ruth can be phrased negatively or positively. I'll try a little bit of both. She was not snobbish. She was not fussy. She was not pretentious. She did not seek attention. Or to maybe say it positively, she was down to earth. Ruth 2, verse 10 shows this. To Boaz she said, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should notice me?" Interesting statement, interesting psychology. Hardly anybody today would act like that. Most people today, their main goal in life is to seek attention. And then she says to him, "Why should you notice me? Only a minority would be that way." Ruth was like another lady in the historical books of 2 Kings, where a woman had given Elisha a furnished upper room, and he offers, "What can I do for you? Shall I introduce you to the king?" No, don't need that. "Shall I introduce you to the general of the army?" No, don't need that. Her response was, "I dwell among my own people." Really unusual. And Ruth felt that same way. And we would say, the best I can say is down to earth. Again, not snobby. If I use a British phrase, not hoity-toity, not feeling elite, not feeling superior. But God viewed her as a woman of excellence because she was not snobbish and she was down to earth. The Bible says that Ruth was a woman of excellence. It said it about her before Proverbs 31 ever became a book. To repeat and conclude, how was she a woman of excellence? Isha Kail, how was she a woman of excellence like the poem in Proverbs 31? She had unending loyalty in relationships. Where you go, I will go. Ruth 1:16. She had resilience in adversity. We could say a holy stubbornness. Ruth 2:2, please let me go into the field. Ruth 2:17, she gleaned in the field until evening. She had flexibility, making changes in a changing world. How you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth and came to a people you did not know. She trusted in God for protection. First, by trusting in God for salvation and eternal life, and the God of Israel in a conversion, and then by trusting for everyday needs. The Lord God of Israel, in whose wings you have come to trust. And she was down to earth, unpretentious, not grasping for attention. Dropping out a few phrases of Ruth 2:10, why should you notice me? So she was described as a woman of excellence before Proverbs 31 was ever written. Ruth was in that virtuous woman of valor category. And by her story, we can see the characteristics that can make women today women of excellence. The Glens are going to now sing, and they're going to use the phrase out of the book of Ruth, under his wings. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, there is a list of great needs among our church family and friends, and they involve various needs like child custody. We pray for protection for those children. There are people that need new jobs and have changed jobs recently, and they need another place of satisfying work and income. We pray for our church that we'll know the best thing to do with having services at some point. We pray for our friends that have various needs, such as cancer that needs to be taken care of, and others that are in rehab. We thank you that we can learn. We can trust in you, first of all, and we can see good characteristics from your good servants. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.